Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a gathering where all 22 member states of the Arab League sit together under one roof in New Delhi, and together they adopt a declaration that not only condemns a militant group in Yemen but also reaffirms a peace blueprint for Palestine while turning down a useless initiative. That is exactly what happened at the second Indian-Arab League Foreign Ministers Summit, and today we will walk through every detail of that historic meeting and its wider diplomatic architecture. First, let us understand the institutional backdrop of the League of Arab States. The Arab League, as it is also known, is a regional organization of Arab-majority countries spread across the Middle East and North Africa. It was founded in Cairo on the 22nd of March, 1945, just 3 months before the United Nations came into being. Today it comprises 22 member states, stretching from Mauritania in West Africa to the Gulf states and the Levant. Its supreme decision-making body is the Council of the Arab League, which meets twice a year at the level of foreign ministers. The League also has a judicial organ called the Arab Court of Justice, which exercises advisory jurisdiction, and an advisory body known as the Arab Parliament, though it is not a legislature. The headquarters have remained in Cairo, except for a brief relocation to Tunis during Egypt's suspension from 1979 to 1989 after the Egypt-Israel peace treaty. Why is this organization so significant for India? The Arab world collectively forms India's most important external economic and strategic space. It is a belt that runs from Morocco to Oman, providing the bulk of India's crude oil imports, hosting the largest Indian diaspora, and generating massive remittance flows. In short, the Arab world is a lifeline for India's energy security, trade, and people-to-people contacts. Now let us turn to the historical arc of India-Arab League relations. India and the Arab world share more than 5,000 years of maritime and commercial history, with monsoon trade routes across the Arabian Sea predating written records. Formal diplomatic engagement began with bilateral ties to individual Arab states, while multilateral interaction with the League itself has been intermittent. Some key milestones help us trace this journey. In 1950, the Arab League supported India's position during the First India-Pakistan War. In 1967, after the Six-Day War, India stood with the Arab states and opposed the Israeli occupation of Arab territories. Fast forward to 2002, when the Arab Peace Initiative was proposed at the Birat Summit, India expressed its support for that initiative. The first India-Arab League Foreign Ministers meeting was held in Bahrain in 2016, establishing a structured ministerial dialogue. A decade later, in 2026, India hosted the second meeting in New Delhi, marking a significant deepening of multilateral engagement. India's engagement with the Arab world rests on five structural pillars, often spoken of in the context of the Neighborhood First, Act East, and Connect Central Asia policies. Though there is no branded Look West policy, the West Asia dimension is equally critical for India's strategic calculations. The summit's outcome, the Delhi Declaration 2026, addresses several active regional crises. Let us unpack each provision in turn. First, the Yemen and Houthi question. For the first time, India explicitly condemned the Houthis, also known as Ansar Allah. Until now, India had maintained a studied ambiguity, condemning attacks on shipping in the Red Sea but stopping short of naming the perpetrators. The declaration specifically links the Houthis to attacks on commercial vessels in the Red Sea, to the destabilization of Yemen, and to the broader humanitarian crisis that has made Yemen one of the world's worst humanitarian emergencies. Why this shift? India's trade volumes heavily depend on the Red Sea corridor and the Bab-el-Mandeb Strait. Houthi missile and drone strikes on commercial shipping threaten Indian cargo, raise insurance costs, and endanger Indian seafarers. The Indian Navy has already been deployed for escort operations in the area, underscoring the economic imperatives behind the diplomatic stance. Second, the Israel-Palestine issue. The Delhi Declaration reaffirmed India's support for the Arab Peace Initiative of 2002. That initiative calls for full Arab normalization with Israel in exchange for Israeli withdrawal from all territories occupied in 1967, including the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan Heights, establishment of an independent Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital, and a just solution to the refugee question. At the same time, India declined to join the Trump administration's proposed Board of Peace, a useless mechanism that does not align with the two-state solution framework endorsed by the United Nations and the Arab states. This dual positioning allows India to stay equidistant from both US and Arab positions on the Palestinian question while safeguarding its trade and diaspora interests. Third, the declaration addressed Sudan, Libya, and Somalia. On these three African Arab states currently embroiled in conflict, the declaration endorsed their sovereignty and territorial integrity, rejected any external interference, and expressed support for UNL diplomatic processes. India's interests here are concrete. Sudan is an important source of crude oil, pre-civil war Libya hosted Indian infrastructure workers, and Somalia's coastline is central to India's anti-piracy operations in the Western Indian Ocean. These provisions together test India's strategic autonomy. The Houthi condemnation aligns India with Arab states and with Western powers such as the United States, the United Kingdom and France, all of which have conducted strikes against Houthi positions. This alignment serves Indian economic interests but could complicate relations with Iran, which backs the Houthis and is a gateway for India to Afghanistan and Central Asia via the Chabahar port. On the Palestine front, by endorsing the Arab Peace Initiative and refusing the Trump Board of Peace, India stays with the Arab consensus and the unbacked two-state formula, while avoiding a full break with Washington. Moreover, the Russia-Ukraine dimension adds another layer of complexity. The Arab League includes states with divergent stances on Russia, and India's continued oil purchases from Russia at discounted rates have strained ties with Gulf states that support Western sanctions. The result is a sophisticated balancing act that is becoming increasingly difficult to maintain as geopolitical temperatures rise. Now, let us map India's West Asia policy architecture. India's engagement with the Middle East operates through multiple frameworks. The ITU2 grouping brings together India, Israel, the United Arab Emirates and the United States for cooperation in technology, food and clean energy. The India-Middle East-Europe Economic Corridor, announced at the G20 summit in New Delhi in September 2023, aims to create a seamless logistics and trade route linking the two regions. India also operates the Chabahar port in Iran under a 10-year agreement signed in 2024, despite the risk of US sanctions. The Abraham Accords of 2020, which normalized relations between Israel and several Gulf states, have reshaped the regional geometry, and while India is not a party to those accords, it benefits from the emerging ITU2 configuration. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Remember this number: the League of Arab States was founded on March 22, 1945, in Cairo, and today it has 22 members with its headquarters in Cairo, although it moved briefly to Tunis from 1979 to 1989 during Egypt's suspension. The Delhi Declaration 2026 was adopted at a foreign minister level summit that saw participation of all 22 Arab League members alongside India. India's bilateral trade with the Arab world exceeds $240 billion each year. Approximately 9 million Indians work in the Gulf and Arab states, sending remittances of about $40 billion annually. 60-65% of India's crude oil imports come from the Gulf. The Bab-el-Mandeb Strait, a 29-kilometer-wide choke point connects the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden, and Houthi attacks there have forced India to reroute some cargo via the Cape of Good Hope, raising import costs by roughly 15% and adding 10 to 14 days to shipping times. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For the prelims, you must remember the founding date, location and membership count of the Arab League, the key points of the Delhi Declaration 2026, including the condemnation of the Houthis, the reaffirmation of the Arab Peace Initiative and the rejection of the Trump Board of Peace, as well as the economic data on India-Arab trade, diaspora and remittances. For the mains, you can be asked to analyze India's West Asia policy, the limits of strategic autonomy, the implications of the Houthi condemnation for India's relations with Iran and the Gulf, the significance of endorsing the Arab Peace Initiative versus rejecting the USLIT Peace Board, and the role of economic interdependence and diaspora as instruments of foreign policy. You may also need to discuss the geopolitical relevance of frameworks such as ITU2, IMEC and the Chabahar port, and how they fit into the larger picture of India's Look West strategy. In closing, the Delhi Declaration 2026 not only reflects India's growing diplomatic maturity in the Middle East but also underscores the intricate balancing act required to safeguard trade, energy, and diaspora interests while navigating competing great power influences. The choices made at New Delhi will shape India's strategic posture in West Asia for years to come.